Blog Talk Radio.
Journey Gray. I want you to settle in and experience some hip hop.
I'm tap dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, Man Cabbage, packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again. John Mason, ghostwriting, striking lightning. Call me Thor, control the flow, I'm precise. When I'm writing, took the score of my life through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype. Found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again. One more song, open mics, I was killing them. Now you feel the power, the present is the gift, and the time is the hour. Seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming. I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming. Vocal cords when I'm humming. Lightning bullets in the hundreds in Chicago in the summer. From some youngins in the armor. I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex. I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this thriller. Deep plate, bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we commute through your stereo. This is Journey Brave, and you are now tuned in to the D-Hour Show.
Hey, what's good, people? You already know the brothers is in the building. Tuesday spot, it jumps off once again on this lovely Tuesday, February 26, 2013. We are in the building. The brothers of the D-Hour Radio Network is getting in on the Tuesday spot tonight. D-Slate, C-K-L-E-O, we are in here. We're in it to win it. Get ready for it because it goes down tonight with Orville Redenbacher Radio. We keep it popping all the time. All you got to do is bring the butter. And you already know we're going to get it in tonight. We got some hits for you guys. As always, you know we got all your favorite independent up-and-coming artists and celebrity hits. We got them going down tonight on the DL. We got some old-school stuff, some... Well, you know, we're throwing in some hits for you guys tonight. So you guys are definitely going to enjoy it. We got some indie artist hits as well. So don't go nowhere. And if you are a hip hop artist, R&B artist, poet, gospel artist, you like to be interviewed on the D-Hour Radio Network, you like to have us play your music, not a problem. All you have to do is email us at dhourshow@gmail.com. That's dhourshow@gmail.com. You can also catch up with us on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search the keywords, The Hour Show. If you have a business or a website you would like to advertise on our network, and a business could be a number of things, barbershop, beauty salon. I mean, it could be a website. It could be a number of things. If you would like to advertise your business in whatever form or fashion, or website on our network, all you have to do is email us at dhourshow@gmail.com. We got some great deals going on right now, so definitely make sure you hit us up. dhourshow@gmail.com. dhourshow@gmail.com. We have to spell it like that because there's some people out there who decided, you know, years ago that they didn't want to finish high school, so they may have some problems with understanding certain words. So sometimes we have to spell it for them, like Mr. Rogers or Sesame Street, the Black Sesame Street, we like to call it. But, you know, we like to do that, you know, for people every now and then. It's all about helping. That's what we like to do, is help people. So,
you know, sometimes you got to break it down to layman terms.
Yeah, exactly. So you already know how we do it. Brothers is in the building. It's going down tonight. You already know. CK's All-in-One is going down tonight. Oh, Real Men Talking, the premiere segment on Tuesday. It's popping off tonight, as well as Stomp B. Slate. Oh, yeah, the brothers are going to try to stump D. Slate with some trivia tonight, and we're going to see if they can do that. If not, D. Slate may be the man again with the trivia questions. But it goes down. My brother, Ellie Yo, what's good?
Everything is good for the most part, man. I'm telling you, life is real. When I tell you it's real, it's real. I wish I could take it back to high school, you know, because responsibility, I'm telling you, it only gets worse as you get older. But, yeah, other than that, I'm doing great, man. I'm glad to be back on the Tuesday night spot, and I'm ready. I got some questions ready to pop off for Real Men Talking. So we're going to stump these late today, CK. Well, I'm going to say that right now.
Oh, down. You heard what he said. The brothers got the Timberlands on, so they already said they're going to try to stump these late tonight. So everybody go down. We're going to see, though. CK, bro, was good.
Nothing much. What's going on, D Slay? What's going on, Elio? We back in business.
We're doing it.
Yeah, we like the song. We don't stop till we get enough. So that's what's up, you know. So I look forward to tonight, you know, to this spot. That's where it be at. So I'm ready. And my all-in-one segment is going to be very interesting. So we're going to have some very interesting things to discuss and things to need to be addressed. So
that's real.
I look forward to
it. If I go to the Mike Jackson philosophy, you know, I would say for the brothers and us kicking it with you guys tonight, if y'all not feeling our human nature, then you might want to ask Billie Jean whether or not we bad, and if she tell you we are, then you know we working day and night. That's all I'm saying, baby.
That's right.
But you know what? I want to start it off, you know, with some, you know, with the big event that just passed us up. Did you brothers get a chance to see any highlights or get a chance to see the Oscars?
I saw the red carpet. That's about it.
I was disappointed.
You were disappointed, CK?
I was disappointed. I mean,
let me throw this out there for y'all. Now, because we definitely gonna get into why CK was disappointed. But let me ask y'all about this. Seth MacFarlane was hosting. If you guys don't know Seth MacFarlane, he's the creator of Family Guy and Ted. You know the movie Ted. but he was hosting. Now, he made a couple of comments. Like, I know one of the ones that stands out, he made a comment about the movie Django, you know, and he said, Django, you know, it's a movie about, you know, a man searching for his wife, and his wife, she was taken away from him, and she was subjected to unspeakable violence. And he said, but for Chris Brown and Rihanna, that's just a date movie.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I mean, and then when he said it, a lot of people was kind of like, oh, wow, man, did he say that? Oh, you know, some people thought that it may have been a tad bit in bad taste because it may have been too soon now to use that particular joke. Looking at the situation that's going down with them, do you guys think that was too soon for him to use a joke like that?
Yeah,
I don't think he should have used the joke at all. Period.
I personally agree. Yeah.
Why you say that, Elio?
It's a time and a place for everything, and the Oscars wasn't one of them. And to use that one, yeah, it's kind of early for you to say things like that. But I don't think you should have stated that at all. You could have found something else other than that to make a simile about Django. Like, come on.
CK, what you think, bro?
I personally feel he shouldn't have said it, but come on, I'm going to be real with y'all. He got Family Guy, so they do almost any and every damn thing on the show. I wouldn't expect it on the Oscars, but I probably would expect a similar storyline on Family Guy or Ted 2 if he did it like that, but not the Oscars. There's a time and a place for something like that.
But you know what? I agree with you, bros. I do. But like CK, I wholeheartedly agree with you that, first of all, when you chose to put Seth MacFarlane as the host, you should have expected the unexpected. Because the thing about it is, if you've seen Family Guy, if you watched the movie Ted, he don't pull no punches. You know, he don't pull no punches. He just say outlandish. His creativity, they tend to say outlandish stuff. So now with it being the Oscars, I got to go with Whoopi Goldberg on this particular point, because she stated on The View, she stated that she couldn't really say a whole lot about any comments about him hosting and things he was doing and saying, because she's done it before. She's hosted before, but so she knows the pressure of what it takes to be the host for the Oscars. So it could have been a lot on his mind. You know, he could have been thinking, man, you know, how is everybody going to receive me? Am I going to be funny? Am I going to be a good host? It's a huge honor and it's a huge responsibility to host the Oscars. So she said, you know, he probably had a lot of pressure under his belt. So, you know, sometimes, you know, trying to deal with that pressure, you may do the wrong thing. You may say the wrong thing. You may do the right thing. You may say the right thing. You know, so that was her viewpoint as far as him, because she's done it before, so she kind of knew where he was coming from.
True.
But I'm gonna come into that. Now, I feel like even though that this was the Oscars and this is like one of the biggest award shows that you could host, hell, I probably would say something out the way too, but I think that at the same time, you do have a sense of knowledge of knowing this may not work, that may not work, this may work. But Whoopi, I don't know. I love Whoopi. You know, she always going to be my ceiling, you know, nothing but death can keep us apart. You know, but anyways, I mean, I didn't feel it.
You also have to look at it, and now that I think back and regress and looking at it in a comedian standpoint, look at what Eddie Griffin told us. You got to the act of being the process of being a comedian is looking at things skewed, and you got to take that risk at some time.
Right.
Maybe he took a leap of faith and said, you know what, let's just do it, because you know you can't really, you got to say it confidently, you got to bring it hard. You know, you got to be confident in what you're doing. So maybe he was confident in that line being hitting home, but you know, give or take, you know, you never know what the audience may perceive.
Right.
That's real. That, you know what? Also, one of the highlights that was talked about with the Oscars was Jennifer Lawrence had she had won for Best Actress in the movie, is it Silver Book Lining? I think the movie's called Silver Book Lining, but she won for Best Actress in that movie, as well as Daniel Day-Lewis won for Lincoln. But when she was coming up to accept her award, she tripped up the steps. And then she just kind of got up. Everybody was like, dang, you know, she just kind of got up. Walked up, and she got her award, and she played it off real smooth. She just laughed, and she was like, I know you guys are only standing up because you're feeling bad for me for tripping over the stairs or whatever. And, you know, she kind of cracked a joke about it and everything, and she accepted her award with much humility. But when she went backstage and the press was back there waiting for her, these cats asked her, did you trip on purpose? Just to get everybody to stand up for you and all this other stuff.
Really?
They asked her, did you trip on purpose? And then they asked her, when you tripped, what was going on? What was going on in your mind?
I mean, it's hard to judge, because some things are staged, but you know it's. Come on, you don't ask somebody that. I mean, what? How many thoughts could be running through your head when you trip? Like, I don't know. It's a bit rude.
Well, she said the one word that came to mind when she tripped, was F-U-C-K. Exactly.
I agree.
She said that's the word that came to mind when she tripped, you know, but, I mean, granted, man, I know some, I think sometimes, too, I'm not going to knock the press. I'm not going to knock the media. I'm not going to knock the press. I'm not going to hit them with no jabs. But I'm going to say this. I know sometimes they're under a lot of pressure, too, when they talk to these stars and different things like that, of trying to come up with different things. As interviewers, you know, we can relate to, you know, in the thought process of, you know, what can I ask this person? You know, what do I ask them? You know, I don't want to ask them something stupid. I don't want to ask them something ridiculous. I don't want to ask them something super personal. So what do I ask this person? And a lot of times that pressure, you know, as that particular person, it just depends on the individual. But that sometimes, you know, that person can shine under pressure or they can fall under pressure. And sometimes they'll ask, you know, something stupid or something crazy, or what was going through your mind when you tripped? Or, you know, did you trip on purpose? I mean, she's got a nice, elegant-looking dress on. Why would she trip on purpose? I mean, has she ever come across as that kind of person who likes to do things like that? So if she's not, if you never known her to be able to do things like that, then seriously, why would you really think that she would do it on purpose?
Can I speak real quickly on this?
No doubt, bro.
I was gonna say, you know, it would have been messed up. Now, had they been waiting backstage on her to come back there, right? As if she didn't trip, then she made the humor out of it, right? And as she went back, when nobody's seeing it, she was just crying because she was embarrassed. Then, how do you take that? I mean, her mind probably said, she probably did say, you know, F-U-C-K, I mean, but I mean, at the same time, she probably was like, I'm so embarrassed. But then again, you know, when you're in a spotlight like that, you want to keep your name repeatedly in the spotlight so it'd be known that you're known. So, hell, it may have worked in her favor. Who knows?
True, but I could see an individual being nervous and to break the ice. Hey, let's trip. You know, there's nothing more embarrassing than that. So take the focus off her personally and just think about the trip. Oh, she just tripped. But look who she
right is.
Round of applause.
Yeah, right. That's real. Another tip real quick. I got some information. We'll go back and we'll speak more about the Oscars and different things, like different points about the Oscars. But I saw a little blurb that said it says Pusha T is prepared for any future beef with Drake. I want to say this, man. I'm trying to figure out and I'm trying to understand. And is it because these cats are on top right now? But I'm trying to understand is, why is Drake, it seems like Drake and Chris Brown is like the center of negative attention.
Right.
You know, they seem to be the center of negative attention, beefs and Twitter rants and, you know, ridiculous rumors and all this other crazy stuff. And these two young brothers seem to be the center of negative attention.
Go ahead,
Elliot.
You're
going to say. No, it's like, it's ridiculous almost. Like, come on, Pusha T, Drake. I mean, these are individuals that you wouldn't even think about drama or in a negative way. I mean, Chris Brown, he's an R&B singer. You don't quote-unquote think of him in a negative light if you're just looking at the outside picture. Drake, he's not a quote-unquote hard rapper. Now, Pusha T, You can swing that by him. He can get hard if he wants to. He can do pop if he wants to. But you never see the two clashing heads. Never. In the time of the time that we're in now, you won't quote unquote see those two going head to head. But why not? So the media just like, okay, why not? Let's just do this. Let's just throw this. He's buzzing right now. You're buzzing right now. let's put those two together, make something happen. No, it's nonsense. I don't believe it.
Wow.
I don't believe it at all.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this, y'all. Sites like Twitter and Facebook and anywhere where you can get your little last-minute word in is always the place for someone to start a rumor. See, I haven't heard any. I mean, whatever coming out their mouth, it may be just be talking amongst themselves, and then somebody run back, all right, let's go put this on Twitter, you know, or let's go spread this on Facebook, you know. But a lot of this social media where it sends that, like Twitter, it's replacing the tabloid newspapers where they used to have it, whereas Michael Jackson was on the cover of every tabloid. So now they ain't got to use it for them. They got Twitter. That's like tabloid beef right there. I mean, and then these celebrities don't. And I want to say sometimes a lot of these celebrities don't really be on Twitter as everybody think they do. And it may be a publicist or someone posing as them, and they take this stuff too far.
That's real.
True. I mean, I'm going to ask this question. Now, would you like to hear what they have to go against each other? Because I never looked at Drake as a battle rapper. Maybe he might switch it up and bring something to say. It'd probably be nice to hear. You know, I favor the two as artists. I mean, it'd be something to hear. I'm going to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Let's have him. Y'all remember how Ali used to have his, when they announced that Ali and Foreman or Ali and Frazier about to go and do a fight, right? And they all sit him down. Or you like you seen on Rocky where Apollo and Rocky were meeting, they discussed the fight, right? One that they're going to go through. Let's sit Chris Brown and Drake down and let's get it all out in the open. Let's just really find out what it is that they got with each other. What's the problem with each other? I mean, and if that's the case, let's take it to the ring, like old school. If not,
you know what? I'm gonna just put it out there. If they're listening or any of the people are listening right now, I'm gonna put it out there. I would love for us to interview Drake or Chris Brown. And I'm going to say this. I respect both those young brothers, and I think both those young brothers are talented. I would love to interview you guys and talk to you guys, and no doubt, I wouldn't come at you guys sideways in the questioning or whatever the case may be. But I'm really curious as to, you know, your mindset about, you know, the negativity that surrounds you, you know, not only as an artist, but as a person, you know, in the entertainment industry, you know, what are your thoughts on this, you know, you being surrounded by so much negative press, and how are you dealing with that, and what are you trying to do to stay away from it? You know, I mean, I would love to talk to them young brothers and find out where their head is at on this whole negative press issue that they keep getting all the time, and that keeps surrounding them all the time. I would love to talk to these young guys and find out where their head is at. And like I said before, you know, I wouldn't come at y'all sideways. I just want to know on an intellectual tip, just where you guys are coming from with this, and where's your mindset on this, and what are you thinking about when it comes to this whole negative press issue that you guys are getting. But you know, we'll definitely get into that a little bit more later. But like I said, I'm gonna throw it out there. I would love to interview Chris Brown and Drake. So if you guys are listening or your peeps is listening, let them know. And like I said, we're not gonna come at them sideways. We've never came at anybody sideways out of any of the indie artists or any of the many many celebrities that and or actors and actresses that we've interviewed on the show. We've never came at them sideways. Each and every one of those individuals have enjoyed being on the show thoroughly. They've enjoyed it thoroughly being on the show with us. So if any of you guys are listening, we would love to have you on the show. Absolutely. Or any celebrity that may be listening, if you want to be on our show, we'd be more than happy to talk to you. With that being said, I'm going to throw up a couple of hits real quick, and then when we come back, we may go all in one with CK. Also, D Slate has some information for all you Dancing with the Stars fans. the new lineup is set up for Dancing with the Stars. You may not believe who's going to be in the lineup, but I'm going to throw it out there when we come back. So don't go nowhere. D-Slay, CK, LEO, we're getting it in right now. Right now, the time is 8:26 Central Time, 9:36 Eastern, 9:26 Eastern. So don't go nowhere. Color me bad. I want to sex you up. Let's go.
Tonight, love is love. fly by Brooklyn kids. Us floor rush when the DJ booming classics. You lead the crew on the baddest hip hop record. He touched the kinks and sinks into the sound. She frequents deep, fatter joints called underground. Our funk booms like you hit the Mary Jane. They flock to booms, man, boogie had to change. Who freaks the clips with mad amount of perfection? Where kinky hair goes to unthought of dimension? Why is it so fly? Cause hip hop has some drama. When butterfly rush, I like which way sooner. What about a cut? We push it off the corner. How was the buzz the entire hip hop era? Was fresh in fact since we started saying Audi? Cause funk's made fat from right beneath my hood. The Puba of the styles like Miles and shit. Like 60s funky worms with waves and perms. Just sending junky rhythms right down your block. We beat to rap, what key beat to lock? But I'm cool like that. 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 I'm cool.
Queen be the chocolate, taps on my rap. She innovates after we the cat nap. He at the funk club with the vibrate. Then they be crazy down with the five mate. It can kick a plan, then a crowd burst. Me, I be digging it with the bug first. Us, we be freaking till dawn, peace and eye. The stranger smile, so I say hi. Who understood? Yeah, understood the plan. Him heard of it and put it to his hand. What I just slipped, let border get loose. How to consume all the beaches like juice. If it's the shit, we'll lift it off the plastic. The babes will go spastic. Hip hop is a classic. Pimp playing sharp, it don't matter. I'm fatter. Ask butter how I zone.
Man, Cleopatra Jones.
And I'm chill like that. 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 I'm chill like that.
We get you free cause the clip be fat for us. Them does the jams and commits to going forth. She sweats the beats and asks me cause she puffed it. Me, I got crew kids, seven and a crescent. Us cause a buzz when a nickel bets a dealt. Him, that's my man with the asteroid belt. They catch a fizz from the Mr. Doodle Big. He rocks the teeth from the Crooklyn 9K. The reverbs are slick like my gangster stroll. The lyrics just like me coming stacks and rolls. You used to find the bug in a box of fades. Now he boogies up your stage, plats twist the braids. And I'm peace like that. I'm peace like that. I'm peace like that. I'm peace like that. I'm peace like that.
Like that, I'm smooth like that, I jive like that, I roll like that.
Yeah, I'm thick like that, I stack like that, I'm down like that, I'm black like that.
Yo, I funk like that, I'm fat like that, I'm in like that, cause I swing like that. We jazz like that, we freak like that, we zoom like that, we out, we out, we out.
Yeah, buddy, you already know we cool like that, we funk like that, we fly like that, we D-Hour like that, we Tuesday spotting it like that right here on the D-Hour Radio Network. Tuesday spot, baby, Diggable Planet, cool like that. Before that was Color Me Bad, I Want to Sex You Up, no doubt. D-Slay, CK, Leo, the brothers is in the building, getting it in, and you know it's for the fit-in. Now, real quick, before we get into CK's All-in-One, D-Slay has info for all you Dancing with the Stars fans. If you love the hit dancing show, Dancing with the Stars, the new lineup is out for the new season. And in the new Dancing with the Stars lineup will be country music great Winona Judd. She will be on Dancing with the Stars, comedian and actor D.L. Hughley. Baltimore Ravens wide receiver Jacoby Jones, Real Housewife of Beverly Hills star Lisa Vanderpump, comedian Andy Dick, boxer, professional boxer Victor Ortiz, Disney star from the show Shake It Up, Zendaya Coleman, Olympic gymnast Allie Reisman, a German actor from the hit TV, from the hit soap opera General Hospital, Indigo Ridemaker, he plays Jax on the hit TV show General Hospital, American Idol country star alum Kelly Pickler, and figure skating great and figure skating legend Dorothy Hamill is going to be on there. So that is your lineup for the Dancing with the Stars new season. Brothers, what do you think?
I mean, I never really got into Dance with the Stars, but I heard a few names that were on a list, and they made a big hype about it on the job today. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna sit down and turn that power button on the TV. I may sit down and watch that.
You know, I've watched a few of the seasons with some of them, and I gotta say, some of these cats, man, thoroughly surprised me. I mean, you know, my boy, you know, because you know I'm a Packers fan. You know, my boy, Donald Driver was on there last season, and man, he ripped it. You know, I mean, it's like a lot of the NFL players, man, they be out there doing it, straight doing it. You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
You know, it's an opportunity. It's a chance that Jacoby Jones may do his thing, but the NFL players, they be getting it in. They gets it in on Dancing with the Stars. So, you know,
well,
because
I think
they
a lot
know.
Of them take ballet.
Yeah, you know, and it's all about the conditioning and the type of training that they go through when they're training. So that's why it's a lot easier for them to get it in like that and be successful. But it's going to be interesting to see some of these cats, you know, DL going to be out there. It's going to be a few of them out there, you know, getting it in. So, you know, it's I know a lot of people, you know, love the Dancing with the Stars TV show. So it's going to be interesting. I definitely can't wait to see how this is going to go down. And like I said, this is one of the many reality shows I don't have a problem with watching, you know, because it's a reality dance competition show. You know, or American Idol, or a reality singing competition show. Shows like that, you know, The Voice. I don't have a problem with watching that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't have a problem with watching, you know, shows like that because these people are showcasing their talent. So I don't have a problem with that. But it's going to be interesting to see how it's going to go down for the new season. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, right now on the Tuesday spot, it is our pleasure to jump off our new Tuesday segment with our boy CK, our brother CK. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for CK's All-in-One. No, he's not a printer. It's just CK's All-in-One right here on the Tuesday spot. CK, what you got All-in-One for us?
All right, Dean Slayton, Elio. Tonight's All-in-One segment, we got quite a few things we're going to talk about. The first thing on the list we're going to talk about tonight is Lil Wayne. As you all have already heard, Lil Wayne has made a lyric in his album on one of his songs in reference to the right slain child Emmett Till, and it disturbed a lot of artists such as Stevie Wonder and a lot of other people in the black community. I'm gonna play devil's advocate on both sides of this. On a business level, I see where Wayne was taking it. And money, business is business. You gotta clock in, clock out, and keep it moving. You gotta make your dollars. That's one way of looking at it. On the flip side of that, I hope Wayne understands that was highly offensive to a lot of people, considering the fact that the whole thing that happened to Emmett Till back in 1955, where he was taken out of the home in the middle of the night, taken to a barn, had a cotton gin, everything was beaten, he was shot in the head, he was tormented and had a cotton gin chained and tied around his neck, drawing him in the Tallahassee River. So, you know, that would offend a lot of people to be like, beat the, like Emmett Till, like, yeah, that don't sound right. And I know that Lil Wayne is a very intelligent person, so he has to think these things out before he actually do it. Now, the message that it leaves that our young youth and our young generation kind of is going to, it's something that they don't need to hear. personally, because they don't know, if they don't know who Emmett Till is, they don't need to hear this. And if they know who Emmett Till was, then I hope in their whole minds that they can actually understand that wasn't a great comparison. And I'm not knocking Wayne for what he does, because he is a brilliant artist in what he does. That just didn't sit well with me. So, brothers on the panel, I'm gonna let y'all have each a 2-minute response to that whole thing. So we're gonna start with LEO.
Yeah. That's big. At first, when I heard what you were saying, I was just like, what's the line? Because, you know, the first time I heard, you know, a similar use with Emmett Till with Kanye West, which was relevant. You know, he's talking about himself, what he'd been through, and it's how he felt. He felt like Emmett Till. I could understand that. I could respect that. But making it a simile as in reference to a female, it's kind of vulgar. It's not hand in hand. You know, I didn't hear that track. I don't know what the track is about, but I have an idea. If he has to beat up like Emmett Till, it's just like you could have used something else, man. You could have used something else. You could have shaped that in another direction. It's a little disrespectful and demeaning. But I'm not hating on what you do. Do what you do. You're an artist. You have freedom of speech. But I personally don't think it fits. Period.
All right.
You know, I'm gonna say this, bros, and I'm not gonna go, you know, deep, because I could go deep into it, but I'm gonna say this. I can't bash Lil Wayne, and I'm gonna say the reason why I can't bash him about anything is because I've never seen this cat in an actual interview, actually having a conversation with someone, talking to them in an interview. So I don't know what his moral capacity or his intellectual capacity, I don't know what that's all about. I've never really seen him in an interview and casually really truly talk to him. But I know he's a brilliant lyricist. He's a great entertainer. He's a good performer. He produces some great music. That I do know. Now, I do think that he's a little confused. Not more so confused. I think that he's a young brother, and he's still trying to search for him. He's still searching. He's still trying to figure out what he truly wants to do in his entertainment business, because he's getting into so many different things. So it seems like he's still trying to find himself. Now, as far as, you know, making that, yeah, if it is in that particular reference that you guys spoke of, then I would say that is bogus. But I feel like this. It seems like to me today, with a lot of new artists, first of all, I have not heard a lot of hip hop artists or even a lot of R&B artists, more so hip hop. I have not heard a lot of positive music from any of these new cats. Okay, because cats from the 70s, 80s, and even early 90s, they used to produce a lot of positive music. It seems like once we start getting into the 2000s, a lot of these new artists just decided, I'm not producing positive music. You know, and the thing about it is, it seems like today, a lot of these new artists don't have no respect for a lot of people. It seems like they have a real big lack of respect thing going on, and it seems like a lot of these new artists are trying to thrive off controversy. You know, and the thing about it is, that only works for certain people. Controversy worked for Prince. Controversy worked for Madonna. Controversy worked for Michael Jackson. Controversy worked for Eminem. It didn't work for everybody, but it worked for those individuals. And it seemed like damn near every artist that's big now, the new artists and everything, it seems like they're trying to thrive off controversy. That does not work for everybody. That doesn't work for everybody. And to me, it just seems like a lot of these new cats have a real big lack of respect going on.
And can I throw a curveball out there?
Go right ahead.
Just to, just to look at it in a spectrum of what we talked about with the Oscar Awards and that trip. Now, looking at Wayne's career, you know, he's a hot artist. He still has a buzz, but his buzz is not like his buzz a few months ago or maybe a few years ago. He has a buzz, but there's a lot of people that's in the music scene right now that's casting shadow on that. You have your 2 Chainz, you have your Drake, which is an affiliation with Lil Wayne. But so now you have management behind Lil Wayne. Okay, what can we do to create that buzz again? What can we do to create that spark again? Huh, let's just say this. It's ignorant. People's going to spark. People's going to feel some type of way about this. Why not get you to say this on a record and get the attention back on Lil Wayne?
You know, beefs and arguments and fights and lack of respect, that don't impress me. Y'all want to impress me? Make some positive music. Impress me with that. Impress me with that.
Right. So with that saying on the main topic of the night, of the discussion, that Lil Wayne, we love you as an artist. We respect you as what you do. But that simile, metaphor, how you want to call it, didn't go coincide. So I hope that we can actually get a response from you as to why you used it, so that if it makes, so that what you interpret can make sense to us, even though we may feel it's not right. Going on into the segment tonight, in gossip news, Janet Jackson's been married for about a year, and I'm not so pleased about this because it wasn't me, but, you know, that's besides the point. It wasn't me, or it wasn't Elio, or it wasn't D-Slay, but I am mad. The dude got money. So I say congratulations, but I'm still like, well, that wasn't me, you know, or anybody that looked like me, you know, but it's cool. I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. So, you know, she said she didn't say that she was engaged. She said she's been married for a year. She just didn't want to tell nobody. So I was like, when I heard, I'm like, wow. I'm like, wondering what Rene Alonzo was doing, what he's sitting there, what he thinking about since he used to be married to her, but with James the Barnes thought. But, you know, that only thing ain't even important. So, Janet, congratulations. Love you. Keep doing you. Now, going on to the next part of my gossip section, there wasn't no gossip to it, but it's in response to why I told D-Slay earlier in the show that I wasn't pleased with the Oscars. I want to know, how come Jamie Foxx didn't win an Oscar for Django?
But his co-star did.
Right. Neither him or Samuel L. Jackson won an Oscar for it. And I was like, really? And
hey.
I'm not seeing it to the fullest, but I wonder, I know that his role was outstanding from what I was told and from the little bit I did see. I'm like, damn, you know? And Samuel L.'s role, like, yeah, he played the best. To me, in my opinion, he played the best Uncle Ruckus I could see, you know? So I've seen bits and pieces, so, but that just shocked me. Brothers, what do y'all think about that?
When you look into any realm of the world, period, it's sometimes it's politics. Most of the times it's politics. You know, it's behind the scenes. You need to be more than just a good actor. You need to know people. You need to get respect from people. You got to be out there in a way where you'll get the mass vote, the popular vote. You know, it's harsh, but that's how it is. It's politics.
Wow. You know, I want to say this. I think that says a lot about what people thought about Jamie and Samuel L.'s performance in Django, because Quentin Tarantino won an Oscar for the script, and the other gentleman for the supporting actor in the movie, he won an Oscar for that. Now, that says a lot about what people thought about Jamie and Samuel's performance in that movie. Now, to really throw it out there, though, to throw a curveball out there about the Oscars, other than, with the exception of Lincoln and maybe Training Day, Ray, and maybe a couple other movies. If you guys, you know, this was, what, the 83rd or 85th edition of the Oscars? Now, when you think about it, for the most part, as far as Best Picture or even the actors, the lead actor or the lead actress, for the most part, if you guys, from my recollection, what I've always known is that any of these people that won as lead role or even Best Picture was always artsy movies. It was always artsy movies. I mean, the kind of movies that didn't blow up big in the box office, but a lot of people liked the movie and a lot of people. So my thing is, you know, because Lincoln wasn't a big blockbuster in the movie. Les Miserables wasn't a big blockbuster in the movie. Even the Silver Book Lining or, you know, that particular movie, that wasn't a big blockbuster when it came out. So then you also got to ask yourself, who's voting for this stuff?
Exactly.
Where are they getting the votes from? Because you know, and that makes you wonder. That's always made me wonder about that. You know, where are they really getting these votes from? Because a lot of times, a lot of the movies that were put in that category, and maybe they're doing it because they're considering the Oscars a elegant award show. But a lot of the movies that get put in those categories are usually artsy type movies.
That's a very valid point. You know, and then you got to take into consideration the days to take the time to see these movies like Django. Are they going off somebody else's opinion?
Right. So my whole conclusion to this is, I said that now, like, Denzel won an Oscar for Training Day, and Halle Berry won for Monsters Ball. So I mean, and those movies wasn't all that.
Well, you know, Training Day was a bit of a blockbuster. I'm not sure about. I think Monster Ball was kind of a hit a little bit. Ray was pretty big. Some of those movies had some meaning behind it, but what I'm saying is that a variety of a lot of people enjoyed those movies and liked those movies, because when you think about a lot of the artsy movies, I mean, come on, bros, how many people y'all know went out and saw Les Miserables? I'm not saying it's not a good movie, but how many people do you guys know that went and saw that movie?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the different movies that they usually put in those categories, I mean, how many people do you actually know that really saw those movies? So then it makes you wonder, who's voting for these movies? How was that being tallied?
So maybe they were
right.
Taken into consideration in the following years, and maybe have something like American Idol. Are like The Voice, where you have the people actually voting for these movies instead of a panelist.
Right. Now, as I haven't gone to my determination to become a film director yet, or a screenwriter, which that may be in another 10-year time frame for me, but I'm wondering if I made a movie that was like kind of interesting, kind of powerful, but yet it wasn't like the blockbuster of the year kind of movie, would I get an Oscar for it, or would it just be sitting in the rest of the other categories being nominated? And so the next thing would be, what kind of film do you have to make to be Oscar status?
Oscar worthy, yep.
So
exactly.
It just really like it really makes you think about the movies now, like, do we really, what we do as creativity is gonna really determine if it's Oscar worthy or not, you know, so that kind of plays a part, you know. I mean, we can produce one of the tightest movies of all time, yes, I use the word kindness for those and that, you know, you new generation that don't know that word. But I mean, it's something to really think about.
Yeah, because could you really see a movie like Friday, you know, winning an Oscar? Because I know that's one of my all-time favorites.
Right. That's real. Now, we're going to move on to what needs to happen part of this. Now what needs to happen, these are some things I wrote down on my list of what needs to happen. We need to have a soft pitch singers reunion, such as we need to get Prince on stage. We need to have a DeBarge reunion with L and Chico, Al B. Shore, and whoever else from back in the day who sung with a high pitch and had the girls screaming and thought and the draws was just throwing them like, oh my gosh, they got this going on, and I was like, I mean, don't get me wrong, we got our Luthers and our Barry Whites and those guys with their deep voices and all that going on, but I mean, what about the brothers that sing a little high note that sounded, that had the girls like, damn, he sound better than me, you know? But I mean, we need to have one of those tours going on. Then on my list, my next list, like, I need for the Jacksons to include me in their Unity tour. Don't get me wrong, I've seen the YouTube videos and they've done well, but I need to be singing Michael's parts. It's lost. And Randy needs to be part of the Unity Tour. I don't know what the deal is with him, if he got something against the brothers. And I mean, I remember one point in time, he was dying to be part of the Jackson 5. So now you too good for the brothers? What? You don't want to perform? You retired? What's the deal? You are the mastermind behind Shake Your Body. You playing the synthesizer. You playing the bass on Blame on the Boogie. I mean, what's the deal? When you're playing the congas on Show You the Way to Go, what is the deal, Randy? We need you. Jermaine can't sing all them songs. Tito can't be singing some of the songs. Jackie's supposed to have a certain range. And Marlon, I mean, what's the deal? I mean, I would step in and sing some of Michael's songs. Some of Michael's songs are being very observed by right now by me. So, you know, fellas, get with me after the show. You know, find me on Facebook, for Kaiserific, whatever. We'll talk about this. Next on the list, where's Joe? And when will he come out with a new album?
That's real.
I mean, Joe, like, you know, I want to know. I mean, I'm not stutter, you know. I really don't know where are you, you know. And you know, last time I seen him, he was in my hometown singing the national anthem for the World Series. He got down too. So
Joe,
I mean,
where you at, bro?
Please reach out to us. D-Slate will put you on the show. We will talk
what
about
you
this. We need you. Now, I didn't bring this up in the list of my stuff, but this one just brought came to me. Out of anybody that won Grammys, this one band has never, ever won a Grammy. And I'm very disappointed. Maine's feature Frankie Beverly has never won a Grammy, from my understanding. Never won no award for that music. And people love Frankie Beverly and Maine's. So I mean, y'all need to get it together. Come on, bring it, y'all. We really need this, you know.
Hey, even though they ain't won one, when I listen to their music, I still get me a happy feeling.
Oh, happy feeling. Come on, what? No, y'all leave me hanging, y'all. That's what I'm talking about. So we need to get in touch with the Grammys and American Music Awards. These are legend icons. These people make music at its finest in a great time. So, you know, we'll get back to it next week. We'll see what happens with that if we got any progress. Now, Now, this is coming to the second, no, the third to the last, the third to the last day before Black History Month is over, which even though Black History Month is 365 all the way around, Black History 360, no matter what. Because you can't give me no damn 28 days just to celebrate my people. Nah, I need 365 days, 52 weeks, 7 days, 24 hours, every 60 seconds, every 60 minutes of Black history.
Damn, 28. I need 33.
That's right. That's right. And, I mean, believe it or not, obviously, I said this in my post the other day. I said, believe it or not, when we do stuff, we are making Black history.
Woo!
We are making Black history. Everything that we do to touch people, to inspire people, we are making Black history. I have people I know that are making Black history who are poets, who are singers, who are motivators, who are my personal friends, who are doing things. D-Slate, you making Black history with internet radio. Come on now. This is the stuff, you know? Leo, what you do? You making Black history. We are Black history. Because our generation needs us. So I'm going to go through the music part of my Black History Month because these people mean a lot to me. And they came up with I grew up with them, and my parents grew up with them. And so these mean a lot. So we're going to go through the list. And I got a few here. James Brown, say it loud. I'm Black and I'm proud, you know. The hardest working man in show business. The Big Payback. Papa got a brand new bag. I mean, he want to jump back and just kiss himself. I mean, who in the world comes up with a line and say, you want to jump back and kiss himself? Ow! You know, nobody will do that.
He was bad. I mean, sometimes you don't understand what he was saying, but he was bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We living in America. I mean, hey, you know, he talked about hot pants. And I had a discussion with my grandma once before she had passed. I said, you know what, grandma, that dang old hot pants song, it made me think about a time when y'all was young, and I could see James Brown just standing around, and a woman walked past like, ow, hot pants. I mean,
the most powerful song ever made. Sorry, ladies.
Yeah.
This is a man's world.
Damn. Come on. And that was just like deep, you know. So I thank you, James, for your contribution to music, because on a real note, he made feel-good music for people to dance to, because he wasn't going to stand up there and just sing something, just be singing. He wanted something that he could dance to and we could dance to. So I appreciate him for that.
Send it in.
Marvin Gaye, he was the prince of Motown. He was a sex symbol. He's the only artist I knew of in a time that he got away with singing protest music and sex all at the same time. You know, different albums, his What's Going On album, his Let's Get It On album, and Sexual Healing, and his early days, Too Busy Thinking About My Baby, I Heard Through the Grapevine. Marvin left an impact, you know, and these artists today are examples of that. And like R. Kelly, if you listen to some of R. Kelly's stuff, you hear Marvin Gaye in some of it. Isley Brothers, different people. I hear Marvin in a lot of people. Even to some today's artists, but, you know, I thank him, you know. And going into the next person, Luther Vandross. I said, Luther, Never Too Much, Creeping, House Is Not a Home, Here and Now. I mean,
this world were mine.
There you go. He sung a Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell song. And you would
you look at the comparison. You were like, girl, you know, I. And then look at the Dream. Girl, you know, And you know, what was that? No, that's Jeremiah. Birthday cake.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
birthday
yeah,
sex.
Yeah,
there you go. See, the Brunts are getting in with this one. Now, we're going to go to the next two people. Their impact on music changed a lot of people's lives too. Babyface, who didn't say this to after he said "Whip Appeal," "Grown and Sexy." After he came off the song "Grown and Sexy," everybody started using that as a theme for their club shows, their club parties, how they approach each other. Like, you gotta come, you grown and sexy. I you know, you putting that "Whip Appeal" on me as soon as I get home from work.
I'll pay your rent. I'll cook your dinner for you, ooh baby. Soon as I get home from work.
See, that's what I'm talking about. And then he helped Bobby Brown on Tender on Aroni on Don't Be Cruel. You know, he helped Michael Jackson. He didn't help a lot of people. Him and L.A. Reid with LaFace. You know. Tony Braxton, let's just go ahead. Tony Braxton, prime example. Boomerang soundtrack, one of the tightest soundtracks I ever heard in the 20th century. Now, going into music, we're going to switch over. Nobody didn't do this until he came along. I guess he probably wanted to, he is the pioneer, Teddy Riley, with the new Jack Swing. Dave with Guy and working on Michael Jackson's Jam.
Jam.
There you go.
Jam.
Now, he spent a whole year with Michael Jackson at Neverland working on the Dangerous album for when I was looking at it on video. He said Michael told him he was used to working with Quincy Jones, getting the album done in about 6 weeks' time, but he took a whole year because he said he wanted to write, he wanted to have some kind of music where he can dance to, like James Brown, and add a new sound. And then Michael recorded it, and he told Teddy to remix it, and the remixes sound just as good as the actual track, and even better. So Teddy Riley, I mean, who can forget Rumshaker? Rumshaker, one, two. Blackstreet. I mean, you know, he kicked off a lot of careers for Dave Hollister. I mean, a lot of different people. He has made his mark in music. I have to give him his props. Now, when back in the day, women loved a dude with the long hair and the curls, but then again, Ivory Haynes came out with a ball, and they wasn't hit, so they was into the froze and everything. R. Kelly comes out with his ball head. I don't see nothing wrong. They after that, they wanted a tall man with a ball head. I mean, I guess it worked for Kelly, and it didn't work for Isaac. So I mean, you know, it's cool. It's cool. I ain't mad. And then, you know, Barry White and Gerald LaVert, all you keep on telling me this. I mean, they make music beautiful. I know there's probably a lot of women's panties that were soaking after they heard a Gerald LaVert or a Barry White album, and to this day, still had their panties soaked. They had to stand over a bucket and wring them out because they love the songs. They love the songs. So, you know, and then Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson, biggest thrillers of all time. We're gonna go to my salute of the not forgotten bands. And this here's the not forgetting bands. SOS Band, Rolls Royce, Sister Edge, Guy, the OJs, and Morrissey and Time. And I'll be back next week with my salute to the not forgotten bands. And there you go, D-Slate, all in one.
Man, he said Morris Day and a Time. Whoo! Hip! Have you heard? It's a brand new dance. It's called a bird. It's Jungle Love.
Man, y'all know about Morris Day and the Time. But there it is, ladies and gentlemen, kicking it off as we do as always. CK's All-in-One, and he will be giving us All-in-One each week on the Tuesday spot. And we're going to be getting it in like that, giving you guys all that information, all your favorite information. And it goes down. It's the Tuesday spot. That's how we do it. Right now we're going to go into a couple of hits. And when we come back, oh, it's real men talking. Oh, the brothers is going to be talking. Real men talking. Oh, it goes down. It goes down. Right now, we got my man Dwelle with Flapjacks right here. Tuesday spot. Let's go.
Some things work out soon as you acknowledge it. What we gotta do, all we gotta do is polish it. I gotta love you, you gotta love me. We gotta f***ing be what we wanted to. Believe that I got plans to hold you down. I can see a future when the end of day shines. I gotta want you, you gotta want me. We gotta want the best of love. I already want you, you already want me. We gotta love. I gotta need you, you gotta need me. We gotta want the best of love. I already need you, you already need me. We gotta love that, we gotta love that. Is this a rap song or is it vocals? Am I hear my voice in your soul? Maybe it don't matter just as long as you loving it. It's gonna be the same thing that it was when you discovered it. Music in a lot of ways mimics relationships. It gets tainted when you bring rules into it. Believe I'm trying to free your mind. Respect my sight, I respect your aim. I gotta want you, you gotta want me. We gotta want the best of love. I already want you, you already want me. We gotta love that, we gotta love that. I gotta need you, you gotta need me. We gotta want the best of love. I already need you, you already.
Party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. Got my mind on my money. money on my mind. Will you see me respect my word? That's why I could party all the time, party all the time. Party all the time, party all the time.
I go hard for the money, I gotta eat. From H-Town to NY, the city never sleeps. I work hard, you see me in the streets. Selling something strong or spitting on the beat. We go hard to this, the rock and the goose gone. Gotta stay focused with this heavy ass jewelry on. I tip dudes, but I'm 50 deep, true strong. Any sudden moves is suddenly the Ruger drum. But I don't wanna squeeze, I wanna lead. With Shorty in the PR, PSG. Shorty in the VIP section with the G's. Ma, when the sunrise, breakfast on me. Before she know it, she'll be laying on my seat. Asking how we party 7 days of the week. Oh, it's easy, ma. Believe me, ma. I'm addicted to chicks. I just stick with the script.
Got my mind on my money, money on my mind. When you see me, respect my grind. That's why I could party all the time, party all the time. Party all the time, party all the time. Got my mind on my money, money on my mind. When you see me, respect my grind. That's why I could party all the time, party all the time. Party all the time, party all the time.
Wake up every morning with this money on my mind. The only reason I can party all the time. Always on the grind with the tray pound the back of more. I'm OT on that Greyhound, back and forth. But they trying to take my freedom from me. I party too hard to stop. I need the money. I throw it at a bounce like don't waste my time. RMG and ride out, don't wait online. ROR, we pay no mind. The snitch been hating on the way we shine. Signs, I read the lines. Get yours, I got mine. Party all day, party all night. Party with the ball, welcome to the light. Party with the G's, party with the dimes. Respect what I'm drawing. Ride out.
Got my mind on my money, money on my mind. When you see me, respect my grind. That's why I could party all the time, party all the time. Party all the time, party all the time. Got my mind on my money, money on my mind. When you see me, respect my grind. That's why I could party all the time, party all the time. Party all the time, party all the time.
Party all the time. 7 days a week, we party. Why you think we don't wait online, man? So we spend big. 7 days a week, we party. Hey, yo, Sire, tell them model chicks over there, they with us. 7 days a week, we party. 7 days a week, 7 days a week, we party.
Party all the time, baby. The Hour Show, D Slick, L-E-O-C-K, the brothers in the building. That was my man, indie hip-hop artist, Emperor Chi. Party all the time. Before that was Dwelle with Flapjacks. Getting in like that for the fit-ins, playing the hits. You already know how we do it on the DR Radio Network. People, people, right now, it's the time. It's time for us to jump it off. You already know the premier segment on Tuesday Spot. It's time for real men to start talking. The real men are about to start talking right now, ladies and gentlemen, and we're about to get it in right here on the Tuesday Spot. Real men, we're talking. Take one. Brothers, who would like to start it off for the real men conversation?
You know, I got a lot of questions, so maybe I should just kick it off by saying this. What's a man's biggest fear in a woman? Period.
What's a man's biggest fear in a woman? Man. You know what? I think it varies for different guys, you know what I mean? Because a lot of times I think with a man, I think his biggest fear, I would say if you think in general, I would say a man's biggest fear is for his woman to not respect him as a man, to not treat him like a man, to not respect him as a man, or to take him or to not take him serious. I think that's probably one of the biggest fears a man might have with a woman or with his woman is her not treating him like a man. I mean, I think a lot of guys have take that, you know, really take, because we don't take offense to a lot of things, but I think when it comes to relationships and it comes to our women, we definitely want to be treated like a man. We want to be respected like one from them. So, you know, I think, you know, some men, that may be a fear to them, you know, that may be a big fear to them, is for them, you know, their woman or that woman to not respect them or treat them like a man. And in any aspect, you know, another fear can be when she missed a period. But, you know, that's just me.
I'm gonna say I agree with D Slay on that, but I'm also gonna take it to another level higher. Now, the respect, the equality, yes, I think with most of us men, we have that fear of power, a power issue. You know, we don't want our women to have power over us because we want to have the power. And then when two of us, when the man and the woman be having that power, it clashes. And then that's when the relationship start having problems. They start turning to other people and bringing them into the relationship. And then the relationship start deteriorating altogether. I think men fear women, their women having power.
Let me take it like this. Personally, the biggest fear I would have is another individual entering the temple we created. By saying that is allowing someone else to take my place is my biggest fear. You know, and that could be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be physical. It can be mental. You know, allowing someone else to enter the temple we created. So this is an established relationship. Y'all building towards something. And then once y'all get to the certain point, you allow someone else to enter our space, rather. That's my biggest fear.
Wow. You know what, Elio? And I got to say, that's probably a big one for a lot of guys. Another man to be taking his place, or for his woman to be interested in another guy, you know, like you said, coming into his temple and taking his place. But it's some brothers out there that, you know, it's some swinging brothers out there that actually like that. So I don't think them brothers apply.
True.
We got a lot of questions out there. I see a whole bunch of them, and I think I'm just going to go. I'm going to go off, you know, a lot of the questions that we got posed out there. One of them is, do men really forgive women who cheat?
You caught the Holy Ghost, CK? Go ahead. You go in on it.
I feel like this. I'm going to do the comparison. We go on Mari. I tell a woman that I cheat on her, 9 times out of 10, she's going to be forgiving. She's going to take me back, and we're going to go about our lives. So when we come back on the show and do an update on what happened a year later, she tells me that she cheated on me, and that man may not be my child. So, yeah, it's hard to forgive a woman after the fact. We ain't tricking off about the baby. We're tricking off the fact that you actually did it. You put somebody else up in my stuff. You know?
The biggest fear.
I think it's hard for us to forgive women because of the fact that no matter how many times we get into an argument, that whole little mental block of what went on went still playing in the back of my head, and fear that she's going to go back to that person, or fear that she's going to go to another man. So, yeah, men have a hard time forgiving a woman once they cheated. That's point blank right there.
My spin, let me take a little spin on it. Now,
please.
For forgiving, I'm going to say yes, we really can forgive. Now, forget, hell no. But now to go on the forgive part, it's like this. You can come to an understanding of acceptance. So accepting what went on, yeah, but it definitely puts your relationship in a new perspective. It's not saying that I won't. How can I word this? Mentally, yeah, we can forgive, I believe, and to some extent. Fully, I don't know if anyone could fully forgive someone, period. I just think that's human nature, and that we definitely can't forget. It happened. You can't take that back. It time already passed, and it's already in the past, but your past is never forgotten. It's still there. It happened. So, you know, we can always reference that. So by referencing that, you make it current. So, you know, I think
that's real.
Forgive is a word with no substance to it, because it will always that's something that's always going to be there. It's an act that happened that always will be there. You can always reference it. You will always feel how you felt when you reference that. So, you know, it's a continuous thing. It's human nature.
You know what? I'm gonna take a stab at it, and then we'll let CK ask his question, and then we'll go to the phone lines. I'm gonna say this. I think that it all goes into manhood. It all goes into a man being a man, because in my experience and the things I've seen, you know what I'm saying, growing up, it just seems to me that it seems like women forgive cheating a lot more than men do. Because, you know, a lot of women stick in it, and a lot of women, you know, sometimes a lot of women be knowing that their dudes are doing it and they're still sticking in it, whatever the case may be. Sometimes some guys be stupid to the fact, and some dudes may not even know, you know what I'm saying, that their lady may be doing that. But the thing about it is that, again, it all goes into being a man, all goes into manhood and being treated like a man. It's like, you know, I think that it's hard for a man to forgive it, because I think what you know, a man just constantly, he just can't get that out of his mind with his woman being with somebody else. Because when you're thinking about all the things, you know, intimately that you built with her, and all the things that she's done for you and said to you and different things like that, now you're thinking that she's doing the same things with another cat. It's just like it's like in a man's mind, it's hard for him to grasp that. It's hard for him to deal with that. So it's like, because he wants to know that he's the man. He's the one that that has her captivated. You know what I'm saying? You know, so he doesn't want to think that there's another guy that's got her like that. So, you know, and then so it's harder for a man to deal with that, I think. And I'm not saying that women do get upset about that, and some women do break up with their guys or whatever the case may be, but I think it's more so, I think it's harder for a man to forgive it than a woman. Now, like I said before, you know, it just all goes into, you know, a man's manhood and him just being a man and being treated like a man, because, you know, you're going to get ticked off because you thinking to yourself, you know, man, you know what I'm saying, when we get intimate, she calls me her little daddy, and then she turns around and y'all get into an argument. She said, but I call him big daddy. See, now you really messed up. Now your mind is all messed up. Now you're all ticked off. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And you can't forgive it. You can't forgive it. And you got to come out of like Orange Juice Jones and say, oh, you know what you talking about? You know, you got to come at it like, I saw you and him walking in the rain. And, you know, you got to come at it like that. You got to tell her, you're just a squirrel looking for a nut. You know what I'm saying? You say you the cornflake without the milk. You know, and you coming at her like, oh, what you talking about? What you looking for, the credit cards and the fur coat? Oh, no, I got rid of all that. So it's like, now you done just lost it. And you just like, no, I can't deal with that.
Mm-mm. No.
Okay.
Nah. All right, I'm gonna take this from one of my friends on Facebook, Bossanova Brown. How you doing, friend? She pointed out, she wanted to know, can long distance relationships work?
Woo, let me take a stab at that one.
What was the question again?
Can long distance relationships work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm gonna say this. In all actuality, I think with that, you gotta have a strong will, and you just have to have a strong will for that. You have to have
a really mature mind for that because, you know, honestly, I think if we're thinking 100, if we're thinking on a scale of 100%, of 100, I'm gonna say this. I think maybe 20% can probably do that, can do a long distance relationship because there's a lot of people out there that does it. In all actuality, I think in the beginning you can possibly do it, but then I think time is a huge factor when it comes to long distance relationships because if it's going on for a long time, then no, I don't think it's going to work. But I think in the beginning, you know, maybe for a little bit, it could possibly work. But if it's going on for a long time, then all actuality, I don't really think it's going to work.
One would agree. It has a lot to do with time because time changes. And because time changes, when the two gets back together, you know, it may not be the same all the time, and it may not be something they could deal with. So that takes a strong will person and a humble person and a disciplined person, two individuals in the same token, to really handle a long distance relationship. Could I personally do it? It's possible. It's very possible. But and it's only in its rarest form. You gotta really be digging the person. Y'all gotta be on the same page 100%. Because it's just so much out there, and because of how society is now, you're dealing with so much temptation from all aspects, and the two is in two separate locations, so it's more of a temptation because they're not there with you, so they don't know what's going on in your day-to-day life because the only times that you're together are what, on the phone, online, or if you're Skyping together, but it has a lot to do with trust. So if you can trust the person and you love the person, then yes. But if you don't have that foundation set beforehand, I can see if you got in a relationship, you build your foundation, then the two split, yeah, I think that can work for a certain amount of time, like D-Slate said, only a certain amount of time because, you know, time changes, like I said.
I mean, if you got a cam on your computer – and your girl got one too. You know, you guys are long distance. I mean, it may work for a little bit. I mean, you're gonna be cleaning your computer off every week, but you just do what you gotta do. You know what I'm saying? You do what you gotta do. You do what you gotta do. You know what I'm saying?
Do you? Huh? All right, I'm gonna take my stab on it. I personally know me. It depends on my mood. I say anything is possible, but personally, I don't. I personally feel like long-distance relationships work because of the fact that temptation is a mud. The flesh is weak. And, you know, you have them nights where you be laying there sleeping, you be tossing and turning, you be finding yourself hugged up with a pillow. Not saying I've done all that, but... and then... I guess it's like now you can work now that you have Skype or Uvu and I guess like webcam like with any of the other sites, but before then, oh hell nah. That just couldn't work for me for the simple fact that it's just I don't know, it just didn't work out. I didn't feel it. I mean, you're there, I'm here, anything going. Yeah, we may talk every day. Talking is cool, but it gets, I'm not gonna lie, boring after a while if you don't have no interaction with each other.
I think the only way it'll really truly work is if you have one of those unlimited airline passes for the rest of your life where you could just fly anywhere at any time you want to. And it may work out for you like that. Or if you have that and if she has that, then it could possibly work out for you like that. But without it, it's gonna be some problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
Right.
We're gonna go to the phone lines real quick. I know we got some people online on the lines waiting right now that got some questions for Real Men Talking. We're gonna go to our first caller. Caller, it's the Tuesday spot
hour
show. 573-842. You're on the Tuesday spot with the brothers. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Davina. I'm calling from Columbia.
Hi, Jane. How you doing?
I'm good, chilling.
All right, we're chilling, too. I mean, if you're on the East Coast, then you're definitely chilling. You really chilling.
Oh, yeah, I'm chilling with this weather.
Oh, absolutely. You got any questions for Real Men Talking?
Actually, no. No, I just,
Wow.
I mean, I don't have any questions. I mean, I really just wanted to probably comment on, like, a few of the scenarios or...
Well, sure, absolutely. Go right ahead.
If you guys were talking about...
Oh, yeah, go ahead and put your two cents in.
I think the one you guys were talking about, the cheating thing, as far as, like, when it comes to a relationship, sometimes you got to ask yourself why a person cheats on you and whether or not you were doing your part in the relationship.
True.
And whether or not you were actually not so much sexually, but were you just so caught up in your life and not so unfocused on the relationship that they happen to, you know, stray away. I mean, that's one thing, that's one reason why people get cheated on. And that's one thing I wanted to say right there.
I mean, to put my little taste on that, but does it at any point in time justify the act of cheating? You know, being as though that someone could be lacking, yeah, but does that justify the act? I don't see that being a reason. I think you either end the relationship or, you know, address the
relationship. Yeah, I definitely. I mean, being the type of person I am, I would end the relationship. But sometimes you got those guys, especially if you like living in the house with them, and you guys got like a kid. And I mean, the times is hard, and you can't afford to live out on your own place, you know. And so it's better to like cohabit and stuff. And you do get those situations where you are together and you're raising your child together, and you're trying to keep stuff as easy as possible. But one person doesn't want to let the other go, even though there's nothing there anymore.
But let me say this though. It's but I think that also depends on the severity of the relationship, because if it's a person, because you're saying that if it was you, you'd break up with them. But what if it's that relationship that you're in with that particular person who completely blows your mind. Who you're head over heels in love with, you damn near worship the ground they walk on, and you super seriously attracted to them. Would it be easy for you to just walk away?
No, I mean, but if it's only one sided, then what's the point? If I'm super head over heels over you, but you're not super heads over heels for me, then the connection is gone. You know, somewhere we messed up. I'm sorry.
But maybe he is, but it's just like you said previously, it all depends on what was the reason behind the cheating.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with that.
Because there's two type of cheaters. It's that if you have the one individual who just can't get enough of anybody, okay, and that's the person you definitely don't want to be with. And then you have the cheater who's cheating because of something that they're not getting, lacking in the relationship.
Right, right.
And usually those cheaters are the ones that people usually stay with, are the ones who are doing it because they're lacking something in the relationship.
Okay.
All right, now, you got any more comments before we go to our next caller?
I think with the long distance thing, I think it can work, but it's based on each person's maturity and their focus and, like you said, determination and stuff. But it's also, you know, it's a communication mm-hmm. thing. And
you must got a real nice cam on your laptop.
But it depends on like me, I'm busy all the time, basically. You know, I'm raising my son and I'm gonna work in. So, you know,
that's real.
You know, if I'm looking at a man and I think like he's the cream of the crop, then, you know, I'm not gonna be over here cheating with any old, you know, dusty thing from the club or, you know, anything with a gold chain or a platinum chain because I already know what I got. So it depends on how much you value what you have and whether or not you think it's worth, you know, losing or breaking that trust. You know, it's almost like, you know, the waiting thing and the, what's it called, the abstinence thing and the heartthorn flounder or something like that. It's almost something right. like that, you know. If you got something that's good, then, and you think it's like heaven sent, then you'll wait for that forever because, you know, that's from God. You know, you ain't going to get nothing better than that. But
if you're the cream of the crop as well, and you got some healthy seeds trying to plant their way in your soil, then you know you got to kind of and like you said before, you know, it all depends on how strong your will is, because if you're the cream of the crop yourself as well, you're gonna have some cats coming your way, and I'm not talking and doesn't necessarily mean it's got to be raggedy dudes. But I'm talking about you.
No, I'm not raggedy dudes.
Some serious cats coming your way. Well, no, not you in particular. I mean, but if you're the cream of the crop as well, you're gonna have some other serious cats, you know, definitely coming your way and trying to come at you. So it all depends on, like you said, your maturity and your will to be able to deal with those type of situations.
Well, yeah, you gotta tell. I mean, you can't. I mean, if you're doing a long distance relationship, know what you want. And if it's not working anymore, you know, let the person know. Don't ever make them think that you still feel the same way and you're not abiding by what you said. Because to me, that's straight up wrong, you know. But can it be done? Yes. You just got to know what you want and respect the other person and just keep it real. Be real. Honest.
Because if you fly, if you fly, somebody gonna be trying to hit your ride on your wing for real.
I know, but I mean, it's not. You gotta tell people no. I mean, dang, you ain't about to be giving your just because somebody asked you for a cookie. You ain't gonna give them one. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to deal with those people. You know, you focus. You know, it's a whole. You know.
You just gotta make sure you don't drop that cookie because some people think God make dirt and dirt don't hurt.
Well, no. that's true. I mean, you don't want to be out there. You don't want to be out there, like, at the club looking like you available, acting available, you know, flirting and getting yourself in predicaments where you alone with some guy and you know you got a relationship. You don't want to be in those situations. But can it
no,
be
that's
done?
Real.
Yes, it can be done. You don't put yourself out there.
Right.
For the temptation. I mean, you can go to the club and have fun and dance and stuff, but you don't sit there and be like, oh, I'm available, you know, with the available look and the available attire, you know. So that's what's up.
All right, now. Well, Davey, I want to thank you so much for definitely calling in and listening in with us right now. We do appreciate your comments, and you definitely gave us some clever and intelligent comments, and we do appreciate that.
That's good. All right. All right.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling in and hanging out with us. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we're gonna go to the line. We're gonna go to the lines. Here we go. Area code 215-221. You're on a Tuesday spot with the brothers. It's Real Men Talking. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hello.
215-221.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm. Hello.
How you doing? What's your name? Where you calling from?
I'm Mia, and I'm from Philly.
All right, now how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
That's good. You got any questions for the Real Men Talking tonight?
Well, I had a question, but I want to comment about the cheating thing first.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay.
Now, sweetheart, what did you say your name was again?
Mia.
Mia. Okay. Thanks for calling in, Mia. What's your question?
My comment about the cheating thing, I feel like it's more. You hold on, because my mom's calling me. Yes. I think it's more so like with women. It's more about revenge rather than, oh, they're just going to cheat because they feel like it.
Okay. So you think with women, it's just more so like revenge?
Yeah. Like, I mean, women, I feel like we're not, you know, naturally cheaters. It's more so like, okay, well, you cheated on me, so now I'm going to get you back for cheating on me. But I think it hurts men more because, I'll put it this way. When women cheat, it's thought out. Like, it's just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to cheat on him because he did this, this, and this. I'm going to cheat on him because he don't treat me right. When men, it's more like, oh, well, the chick was right there. She pulled the pants down, so I got it. I mean, that's my opinion. I'm not saying that's, like, real life, you know. That's my opinion.
So, you know, so basically, if it's there, a man just going to jump on it.
I mean, most of the times that's what the case is. But, I mean, from my experience, that's what the case has been.
Wow. I like to talk to some of them brothers that have that mentality.
Because
everything that looks good ain't good. I respect that. I know it's probably some brothers that's listening right now like, what? But, So you think that women don't have it in them to just cheat?
I mean, I'm not saying we don't, but I think it's more triggered. Like, it's more like, okay, say I had a boyfriend and he cheated on me first. And I'll forgive him or whatever, but then say he do it again. Then I'm going to get to the point where, like, why am I still forgiving you and you still doing the same thing that you were doing before? So I'm going to have my turn at it. I mean,
so
I've never done it. I haven't gotten to that point. Like, but if I had to, it would be like, okay, this is revenge. This is me getting back at you. And, of course, he's going to take it harder.
So you think women, so you think women are not capable of cheating first?
Oh, no, I'm not saying it. I mean, it is.
Okay.
I know a couple of women that have, but I feel like naturally we're not. And I feel like now in this society today, it's more so, oh, well, men can do it, so we can do it too. That's where
right.
Women come in with cheating first now.
Okay.
And maybe
what's those females' names that you know so I can write them down so I won't cross that path?
we want to know the list. We want to know who they are. Who the hell are they?
Well, I'm not friends with
these
females anymore, so I don't know. I'm not going
to
tell y'all.
I think the brothers out there want to make sure they're not running into them women.
I mean, that's
215. Watch out.
I mean, that's just my opinion. Like, I'm not saying that's necessarily true. I'm not saying everybody,
right.
You know. But, I mean, from experience, from both ends, because, I mean, I have been in predicaments with relationships where I could have just cheated because it was just like, oh, well, he did something to me a month ago. Like, I mean, I've caught boyfriends on Facebook writing inboxing other females, whatever, but if I pick up the phone and it's after 8 o'clock, I'm cheating. So, I mean, it could have been, like, situations where I could have just been like, yeah, I'm talking to another dude. What are you going to do about it? You were on Facebook.
But do you,
like,
but,
I mean,
but with the question that we brought up with it, do you agree that it's harder for men to forgive that than women?
Yeah, I that's what I said. I feel like it's harder for men because when a woman does it, it's deliberate. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. Like, they plan it out. Maybe they don't have the dude that they're going to do it with, but it's like, oh, yeah.
So,
And
when a man does it, he just does it, you know, he ain't even thinking about it. He just do it like it's a reflex.
I mean, some men, maybe they got their little side chick. Maybe they got picked up some chick at the club. I don't know. Like, I don't know what y'all men be doing. Not y'all, but, you know, I don't know what men do. I'm just saying, in most cases, it's like, okay, if you at a friend house and say him and his girl got some other girl over there and y'all talking and next thing you know is whatever, it wasn't so much like, you know, he not sitting there thinking about, oh, my girl, I got a girl at home. It's like, oh, this chick, she all right. She giving it up to me. Let me take it real quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm like a bloodhound. I'm loyal to mine, so, you know.
Well, that's good, because, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying from both ends, like, I've been cheated on, and I've been in situations where, like, I have been the female that the guy tries to cheat on, but then I'll take the perspective, like, oh, well, I shouldn't do that because, you know, if I had a dude, I wouldn't want him to do it to me.
That's real.
Man.
All right. All right. Well, do you have a question for us?
I did have a question. One of my friends asked me on Facebook, and it was, what are men's perspective of, like, plus-size women as far as, like, dating and relationships nowadays?
Wait, say that again now?
What are men's perspectives of, like, plus-size women, like, for dating and relationships, in today's society?
Oh,
with
Let D. Slay take a stab at that one. I'm gonna say this: I think there's a lot of gorgeous, beautiful plus size women out there, and I think that it all boils down to that man's preference. I'm not knocking skinny women. I'm just not a skinny woman fanatic, but. I think there's a lot of gorgeous and there's a lot of beautiful plus size women out there, and to be honest with you, it's a lot of brothers getting with plus size women.
I know, because a lot of them I used to call them undercover chubby chasers.
Oh wow!
It is.
But what you got to think about too is a lot of those women. You know, didn't used to be that way. So, I mean, it really takes nothing, because once they lose all of that, then they're no longer plus size women. So,
yeah.
Correct.
But I mean,
correct.
Yeah. I mean, in perspective, I just feel like, I mean, I'm a plus size female myself, and I just find it's harder to, like, take men seriously that try to talk to me, because a lot of men still have in their head that, oh, big women are easy or whatever. And I'm not that type of female. Like, I'm the type of female, like, I want you to get to know me. I want to go on dates, whatever. But a lot of men, they're not for that. It's just all about, oh, when can I chill with you?
That's a knucklehead boy, and then at that point, that's when you gotta step up to the men, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because a real man is gonna appreciate a woman, regardless of her size or whatever the case may be. He's gonna appreciate her for her. That's what a real man gonna do.
Yeah.
True. And I say remain confident, because as a man. Personally, myself, I sense insecurity, and that becomes unattractive. I think people are attractive in general. I don't really focus on the size, so I have no problems with plus-size women. I don't do too skinny. I can pluck you in your break. I don't do too skinny. You know, I need a little bit of weight on your bone. But as far as right, you need something to bounce back a little bit, just a little bit. But it's no real preference when it comes to me, and that's me, a real man's perspective. And I think any real man would say that there really no practice a preference. Beauty is beauty, period. You know, and whatever the public eye wants to put in as the itemized woman. Forget that, erase it out your mind. You're good. Don't worry about that. Be confident in your shell, and the guy will come. The right guy for you will come, and they will come correct. If you're correct, they'll come correct, period.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to go with L.E.O. I can't, you know, the skinny woman thing, I just can't do it. I mean, one day you walk in holding her hand, and next day she got a sling on her arm. You know, I mean, it's just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or, you know, she like Samuel L. Jackson in Unbreakable in this piece. You know what I'm saying? You don't even want to deal with nothing like that. But, I mean, I agree, though. I mean, it's just that, you know, like I said before, a real man, it doesn't really matter. Because I know I've seen... And I know a lot of beautiful plus-size women. And like I said, a real man is going to appreciate her for her. So, I mean, that's just real talk.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome. I'm going to speak real quickly. I've had the best of both worlds in the family. So we had our big BBWs and we had our small women. And that's just what I love about my family. We don't discriminate. So there's nothing wrong with a plus size woman. She is beautiful. She is gorgeous just as much as that petite woman. I mean, there's just love either way for me personally. More power. Plus size women rock. I mean, that's how it is.
Yeah.
But see, what a lot of men gotta realize too is that beautiful plus size woman, she can lose that plus size anytime she wants to, and that skinny chick, that skinny chick that you all into, she can become a plus size anytime as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what cats really need to be, you know, taking into consideration. But no, I mean, like I said before, I mean, like all the brothers said, it's just, you know, maturity and a real man would appreciate a woman regardless of any of that, because like I said before, we all know that there's a lot of gorgeous plus size women out there. So, and granted, there are a lot of bad apple knuckleheads out there who have plus size women thinking that, all cats want them is for sex or want them because they think it's easy, and that's not the case. And I say if that is If there, you know, those bad apples out there that are trying to spoil it for the bunch, then all my plus size sisters, I say, stand strong on your morals and stand strong on your grounds, and don't let the knucklehead bad apple influence you with that nonsense. And you tell them, you just tell them, bad apple, you better step before I turn your ass into applesauce. You know, that's what you tell them. You know what I'm saying? That's what you tell me. But Mia, I want to thank you so much for listening and definitely calling in and joining us on Real Men Talking. And you definitely feel free to keep listening in with us. But I want to thank you for your comments and your great questions.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
Now we're gonna go to another caller real quick, brothers. I think we may have a surprise because I think our brother, Mr. Al Norfolk, is in the building. Al, what's good?
What's good with you, man? How you doing, bro?
Mr. Norfolk in the building, baby. What's good with you?
Hey, you know I'm sitting here on fire listening to this drink. Like, ooh, somebody unmute me and shut me
up. Al, I knew you had your hand up. I'm like, damn, Al got his hand up. I know he got his hand up. I know he do.
Ooh, call on me. Oh, my God.
What you got for real men talking, bro? Go ahead and break it down for us.
Amen. I just want to say, man, look, y'all doing y'all thing, but as far as that distance thing, man, as long as she can fly in every 14 days, because, 14 days like the cutoff. If you get to day 15, you trying to beat something. You know what I mean? And that's real. But here's my question for real men talking. I want y'all to keep it real, real funky. All right? So say you got a seat with this chick, right? And, y'all not making it happen. So y'all decide that, you know what I'm saying, y'all gonna have joint custody or whatever, right? What age is the age where she should entertain men with your seed involved? Or how long should she wait? What's y'all feeling on that?
Wait, you know what? I didn't catch it. I got cut off for a second. Go ahead, ask it again, bro. I didn't get a chance to peep it.
Ask it again. All right. So if you have a seat with a woman and you guys are no longer together, right? And you decide you guys are going to go your separate ways, and and your seat is pretty young. What age should she start to entertain other men? Or what age should your seed be? What do you think is an appropriate age for her to entertain men with your seed? Or how long should she wait after that?
Well, you know what, bro? I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna take my stab at that one. I'm gonna say this. I think if your child is still young, I think in any aspect that I think the big picture surrounding that situation, I don't even think it may have anything to do with the child's age.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have something to do with the maturity of that woman, because not just the maturity of her, but the maturity of yourself as well dealing with that situation. But I think it all boils down to maturity, and all boils down to communication, because I think that, first of all, if she's entertaining bringing somebody around your child, then she definitely needs to communicate that with you and talk to you about that, and also allow you to have an opportunity to also meet this person. Because, I mean, if the person is going to be in her life for a while, then I think that she needs to give you an opportunity to meet that person, especially if they're going to be around your child. Now, if she don't really plan on being with this cat for a long time, then it's really not going to make a difference. But I think that it boils down to the maturity of that woman and yourself dealing with that situation and how she's handling it, as well as the communication between the two, because she has to communicate that to you and let you know what's going on, to give you an opportunity to figure out what you want to do, and whether or not you want to meet this cat and talk to him and meet this person that's going to be around your child, but give you that opportunity to know what's going on. And I think it's vice versa. The same thing is if you're going to be with the woman and you plan on being with her for a long time, then you know your child is going to be around you and her as well. So you definitely want to communicate that to her as well, so that way there's no confusion and there's no bad blood about the whole situation. But I think that it just boils down to maturity and communication.
I mean, that really sums it up in a nutshell. It's definitely, you definitely have to consider longevity with whom you decide to surround your child around. And as far as age is concerned, yeah, that there is no real age, because, you know, even if the child is young, if the child is older, you're always going to run in confliction with, as far as, oh, who are you bringing around my child? Or what dude is this? Or what chick you got around my daughter? But it has a lot to do with the communication, I would agree, between the two parents. They have to be at a comfortable level where it's, though, all right, to address the situation. Okay, I'm feeling this person. I'm prepared to pursue a relationship with this person. I'm trying to move forward with this person. No, you don't have to tell all your business, but, you know, out of consideration and out of, you know, less confusion, you should be comfortable enough to at least want to address. You don't necessarily have to, but at least get to the point where, okay, I believe this person is going to be around for a while. I think I would want to converse this with my child's father or whatever the case may be, just so it can be a comfortable feel. So it just have to be definitely situational, definitely a person that you want to move forward with in the realms of a relationship, because you don't want to have no relationship. Oh, you got a relationship with this person, but this person can't be around your child. So, you know, it definitely has to be relationship material, and that's my take on it.
Hey, Ellie, yo, let me ask a question. Does gender play a part in that?
Whoa, man. Yes. I'm going to say yes. Only because you're dealing with two different parents here. And two different parents, they want to raise their child a certain way. Now, if you're talking about a same-sex relationship, that's a little iffy.
You didn't win San Francisco and A-Town on us. See, I don't see. That's a whole different ball game, you know.
But you know I wasn't going to keep it basic. Come on, man. Y'all already know. Go ahead.
That's real.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, being a parent, I have an 8-year-old son, and when we split our ways when he was a baby, you know, I really didn't have much to say about who she had brought around him because of the fact that we was always at each other's throats. So, obviously, when he was a baby, I did not like the fact that she brought these different guys around. But now he's older, he's 8, going on 9, I think it would be much better for me if I knew who they were so that I know who's around my son and so we had this understanding that this is my child. As far as the age range of the child should be, I would say they're going to do what they're going to do anyway, but if it could be, I would wait till the child's a little bit older to understand so they won't ever get confused like, oh, that person's my new parent. No, this is someone that my mom is dating or my daddy is dating. So I would say when they get to be school-age children, that's when they should be really bringing their kids around other people. But these days and these times, women and men gonna do whatever they want.
True.
That's real.
Can I ask y'all one more question?
Go ahead, bro.
All right. So being the men that you are, how do y'all feel about the YouTube videos of the little boys twerking and things of that nature?
The little boys twerking.
Yeah.
Like male boys twerking. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Like little kids, like 5-year-olds, man. It's horrific out here, man.
Wow. I'm gonna have to disagree with that. I don't agree with that whatsoever. 5 years. Who is taping it? Who has the camera?
Exactly. I don't really partake in that stuff. But yeah, these little boys is, you know what I'm saying, twerking, doing the whole Beyonce videos and things of that nature. How y'all feel about that type?
I agree. I think that in that aspect, and I think that's been an issue that a lot of cats, especially of African Americans, that we've discussed for a long time over the years about, and the situation and the scenario is as follows. It is that, you know, you hear people saying, especially grown adults, you hear them saying, that's a damn shame that this 4-year-old or this 5-year-old is doing the tootsie roll and the twerk or the whatever the case may be, and they don't even know their ABCs or their numbers. And they don't even know how to read, but they yelling out Lil Wayne lyrics, or they yelling out, or they singing some song, but don't even know what the song means, don't know how to spell none of the words in the song, or whatever the case may be. Yeah, that's the issue, because at that point you have to determine as a parent what's more important for your child to be influenced by, what's more important for your child to be learning. Child be learning some ridiculous, or should your child be in school learning how to read and learning how to do their ABCs and their numbers and all those things that are important when it comes to their education?
I think
for cats to be capitalizing off something silly like that with their kids, that's ridiculous, and you need to evaluate yourself as to what kind of parent that you are.
So, let me ask
that's
you.
That's not on the broadcast, man.
If you saw this video and your son was in this video, how would you respond to that? How would you go about correcting that action?
You said if I saw that video, it was my son that was in it?
How would you go about correcting that act?
First of all, how I would go about doing it is making sure the video gets taken off. And then what I would do is me and that person responsible for putting the video of my son on there, me and that person will be having a long conversation about what's important for my child. And they'll be getting an understanding from me that even if it's his mom, she's going to get an understanding that you're not just his parent. I'm his parent as well, and this not only reflects you, it reflects me as a parent. So in the future,
exactly.
You need to talk to me about situations like that. I don't think it's appropriate, and you need to take it off.
Yeah, and that's definitely it's a wake up call. It's a wake up call. Now, this is from a real man's perspective. What a real man would do: you take your son, you definitely get it offline first. You take your son, you sit down with him, you talk to him consistently, so he gets an understanding of what to do and what not to do. Things the way that you were brought up to be. He needs to learn those morals. He needs to learn those standards. And that can't happen. You're not at that age where you can decide that for yourself, or you can put yourself in and broadcast yourself in a public manner. You don't know yourself yet. And he has to understand that. And that is what it is.
Real talk.
CK. Overall, D-Slade and Elio have spoken for me on what they said. I just think that I'm going to go old school. The video's going to get removed. Somebody's butt going to get whooped. And it's not going to be me. It's going to be the kid. And he's twerk that sitting there with a swollen butt bandage up, looking like you got a big old diaper on. I videotape that, put that on YouTube, and tell me how many people will like that. And, you know, because not only these kids don't understand that when they do stuff like that, they represent us too. And if the parent is going along with it, they need that butt whoop too. Because personally, we as a community, and I want to go in there and say if this is a black child that's doing this, these black boys are doing this, right? For one, black males are always being looked at as the bottom of the barrel. We are always being criticized, we always being critiqued on every little thing. We can sneeze and they say we did that so wrong, and that looks bad on us, and so to be young men, young boys doing that at an age where they don't even know how to use their wee wee. I'm gonna call it
wee wee.
How can you do all that? You know, and so it's just crazy. And I mean, if these parents listen, they seriously need to let these kids go a little someone up, because that's not cool. These parents need to get it together and show, hey, this is my kid. I'm taking responsibility. I had a video removed. His butt gonna be whooped. And we're gonna have a talk. Like, there's some things that little boys just don't do, you know. And that was one of them. I mean, it's just crazy. So, and if it's little girls, yeah, she's gonna get her butt whooped. Now she's in her. If she's damn near grown, I can't say nothing about that. She's 20 years old, 21, 18. She's grown. I can't say nothing about that. I might chastise about it, but I can't say. But being, I haven't been in the world no more than 5 years. Nah.
Man,
my
please.
Son, shoot.
Look,
if it was
my daughter, I don't care how old she is. I slap the taste out of her mouth. She won't know whether or not she's drinking milk or Kool-Aid.
let me ask you this. Let's say she's 25 years old, right? And she did it, and you seen it. But she came to you and said, Daddy, here's a check for about $5,000 to put, you know, for whatever you want to do, have some fun with it. This is something for my own paycheck, you know. Would you still whoop that ass, or would you still go ahead and take that check and go on back to business, go get you a little yacht or whatever you're gonna do with it? What?
Look, I'm gonna tell you like this, CK, for real talk. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna go get my 60 inch and my entertainment system, and then I'm gonna record myself slapping a taste out of mouth and telling her, look, don't do it again, and sit out here and watch this 60 inch with your daddy.
In my case, I don't even think my daughter would, being who I am and being how off the wall and crazy that I am, and the way I raise my daughter and the way I talk to my daughter, I don't think she's going to let me find out no stuff like that. And that's real.
True. Out of respect for me being her father. Yeah, you got to keep that in the distance, you know. But I don't think it's a price that you can put on my child's body. Period. In regards to the money thing, I need to get that. I'd rather do without it than know that.
And just for all the listeners that's listening, you know, right now, because I know CK said something. Y'all saw like, man, he went old school on us. When you were a little boy, it's called a wee wee. When you were a man, it's called a what what. Just understand that. That's all I want to say. Let y'all know that's what's going on.
Like what? when you pull that shit, I'll be like, what? Okay.
What? Yeah.
What?
Oh, man. Hey, Al, I got to say this, bro. If you ever get a chance, man, when we doing the Tuesday spot, man, we do a real man talking, bro. You got to call in and get it in with us for real.
Hey, man, I've just been listening, man, and you know what I'm saying? Y'all doing y'all thing, man. You know, when I get a chance, man, and I get some free time, man, I always try
That's
to call
real.
In and listen, man.
That's real. I mean, we definitely get it in all the time, but tonight was definitely a good one, man. I know some of the listeners were probably enjoying it as well. But and basically, it just all boils down to, I know a lot of times a lot of women always want to know a man's perspective on certain topics and certain things regarding children and relationships and different things like that. And that's what Real Man Talk is all about. We're just giving a real man's perspective about certain things regarding relationships and children. That's what it all boils down to now. That's what it's all about. Yeah, we'll throw some jokes in every now and then to lighten it up. But a lot of times we're giving you real talk, real opinions, and mature comments about what we think and, our opinions about, different things regarding those particular topics. But we get in like this all the time, ladies and gentlemen, every week on the Tuesday side. And if you guys definitely want to get in the conversation with us, make sure you call in 718-766-4553, and you can definitely get in with us each week. We're going to be talking. If you have questions, you can definitely email us at thehourshow@gmail.com, or you can catch up with some of the brothers on Facebook, myself, each way, or you can go to the Hour Show page, Leo, Optimistic Music, or you can check out Christopher Kaiser, a.k.a. on Facebook, and you can definitely submit your questions to them as well. And or all you have to do is listen in to the show. We have the chat room up every single time, so you can post your questions in the chat room as well. So if any way that's more comfortable for you, I know some people, some people got that Michelle A voice, or some people got that that very fight. They call in and they don't want to embarrass themselves, so they feel like, I don't want to talk. I may say something stupid. I don't want to say nothing. So if you feel like you can't get on the air to say something, it's all good. You can email us to us. You can get in the chat room and say something, and we'll be more than happy to bring your question up and respond to your question for real men talking. But again, ladies and gentlemen, we do it like this all the time, so definitely make sure you guys tune in each week for man, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show with us, bro.
Hey, man, it's man, y'all always treat me like family, man. I mean,
and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, man, I definitely enjoy you guys doing. I appreciate what you guys doing. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, no doubt, bro. It's always a pleasure, man. You know you fam, man. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show with us anytime.
That's what's up, man. I appreciate y'all. Y'all be good, man. Don't hurt
nobody.
All right,
you too, bro. All right. Getting it in right here on the Tuesday spot. That was Real Men Talking. That was our boy Al, Mr. Norfolk, getting it in with us. And I want to thank the ladies that called in and spoke with us. You guys had some incredible questions. You had some great questions, and we do appreciate you for calling in and commenting and having questions for what's going on. Right now, you know, we're gonna go to a quick music break, and then when we come back, we're gonna close it out for the show tonight. And again, we appreciate you guys and everything that you do for supporting us and then listening to us. Right now, we got my girl MC Light. Because, you know, we had Light on the show. We got a chance to talk with her. Very, very intelligent sister, very intelligent. This is one of Light's hits, Cha-Cha-Cha, right here on the Tuesday spot. Let's go.
Cha-cha-cha to this Mardi Gras. I'm the dopest female that you've heard thus far, and I do get better. The voice gets wetter, nobody gets hurt
as long as you let her
do my thing with an 89 swing. The dopeness I write, I guarantee delight to the hip-hop maniac, the uptown brainiac in full effect. MC Light is back and better than before, as if that was possible. My competition, you'll find them in the hospital. Visiting time, I think it's on a Sunday, but notice they only get one day to shine. The rest of the week is mine, and I'll blind you with the science that the others have yet to find. So come along and I'll lead you the right way. Just clap your hands to the words I say. Come on. I got the power to spit out and devour at the same time. I'll eat you up with a rhyme, but I'll let you slide because you accidentally hopped on the wrong side. Now come on, that's suicide. Hypothetically speaking, okay, let's say you didn't know what you were doing. You're new in town and you're looking around for another name to ruin, and it's me that you're pursuing. Well, 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 I'll be damned. I might as well tell you who I am. I am the capital L-Y-T-E, and it's shocking, I'm the one you're mocking. Oh yeah, I've been watching you, watching me, and like the fat on your back, it's plain to see that you're a wannabe, but you can't be what you're not, so you better start living with what you got. Rhyme out the batch, and you're the receiver, eager as a beaver. Time to convert the non-believer that I'm a roadrunner, leaving you in the dust. I can't adjust to the times, and at times I might just get quicker than the ticker of your pacemaker. More tender than a roadie, but harder than a jawbreaker. So don't ever second guess me. And if you're wondering who could the best be, think a second and recollect the worst whipping you ever had yet. And I'll bet that I did it. My fingerprints are still on you. How many times I gotta warn you about the light? It'll blind your sight, but the rhythm will still guide you through the night. Kick, 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 kick.
Welcome back, D Hour Show, Tuesday Spot, D Slate, L-E-L-C-K, the brothers is in the building. That was my girl MC Light, Cha-Cha-Cha, right here on the Tuesday Spot. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the wind down time. We're going to go ahead and try to close it out for you guys for tonight. We had an incredible show as always. And make sure you tune into the D Hour Radio Network every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. You never know who's going to be on the show. You never know who we're going to be talking to. You never knew what we're going to be talking about. All you got to do is keep tuning in and hanging out with us. We get it in all the time, all the time. You just got to keep listening. Definitely keep listening. CK, you got any closing comments for tonight, bro?
Tonight's show was wonderful. I ain't gonna lie. It was totally wonderful. I enjoyed it. I had fun. You learn a lot from sitting in and talking with other people, because and that's the beauty of conversation and communication. I tell everybody stay blessed, safe, wise, and inspired, because always someone might be inspiring you. So, you know, I'm going to take work on the week. Look forward to Thursday. Next week, next Saturday, March, will be March 9th. I will be at the local library in St. Louis doing for author shout-out, which I'll be one of the featured authors, and I'll be promoting my two known books, Dirty Little Sex Secrets and Passionless Loves Poetry, along with a few other little accessories that I may have for this event. All my St. Louis listeners, please do come on out to the Central West End Library and support.
There it is. No doubt. Right there, CK giving you all the business. LEO, closing comments, bro?
Oh, yeah, definitely. LEO, live every day optimistic. This show was phenomenal. You know, it always feels like a new start, every show that I experience here. And it's definitely a new start to a new beginning. The airlines was flooded today. I love the atmosphere. I love the feel, love the vibe. LEO definitely will be working on Cold Hearts and Late Nights, releasing on May 25th. So definitely stay tuned to the D-Hour Network. Stay on my Facebook. Stay on the D-Hour Network Facebook. Just stay in contact with us, because big things are happening really soon. Definitely.
Absolutely. And again, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and hanging out with us tonight. We had a wonderful time, man. We had a great show. Wonderful time. I definitely want to thank our brother, Al, Mr. Norfolk, for calling in and getting it in with us, as well as the lovely ladies that called in and had their comments and questions for tonight for Real Men Talking. We do it like this every Tuesday, so make sure you guys tune in, and you get a chance to get a wonderful earful of what we're talking about and the different things that we're doing, and just getting it in. It's real radio, and that's what we like to give you guys, real radio. And like I said, Sunday through Thursday and Saturday, you never know who's going to be on. You never know what we're going to be talking about or what's going down on the D-Hour Radio Network. Tune in tomorrow for Nod Your Head Wednesday with my man Brock Gunny and RC. They're going to be getting it in tomorrow. So the premier hip-hop show on the DL Radio Network, so make sure you guys tune in, and you'll see CK and myself back for Celebrity Thursday on Thursday, and we may have some nice ones for you guys, so definitely make sure you tune in. And this Saturday, Indie Up Saturday for the indie and up-and-coming artists with myself, Mitri D, and Ray Cole. Make sure you guys tune in to that as well. And Sunday, our premier gospel show, The Covenant Cafe, with Poetic Lace and Lamont Ferguson. Just make sure you guys tune in. Like I said, we got, and I Got Something to Say radio show on Monday with Poetic Justice, myself, CK. You know, we get it in, you know, so just make sure you guys tune in all the time. We have some wonderful guests and celebrities that we have on the show all the time. So you never know who's going to be on the show. All you got to do is keep listening and keep tuning in. It's your boy D Slate, CK, LEO. We got to get on up out of here. We hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. Please stay blessed, be special, and remember, if somebody smacked the taste out your mouth, you're going to have to look at the glass and make sure it's milk or Kool-Aid. You may not be able to know. It's your boy, D. Slate, CKLEO. We'll see you guys next time.
Deuces.
Good night.
Tell me who the hottest in the town. Reaching your location, even places not around.
travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet, giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the birds, so yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend. And 10 minutes later, the same song spins. It's the D-Hour Show, yeah, I said it so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the Starship. The hottest station, showing love to underground artists. Yeah.